to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. My homepage is glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And that's also how you can find me on Twitter and Facebook. After there, .com/MikeLuoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. I also have a Facebook page for Glow in the Dark Radio, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can sign up for the email list on any of those sites. Right at the top of the Facebook page, there's a little sign up button. There's a subscribe box at the top of glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. Even on the blog, it's in the sidebar. I send out an email once, maybe twice a month, or if something special's going on. And when you sign up for the email list, you also get the exclusive Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, which is a collection you can't get anywhere else except through subscribing to the email list. We've got more with Alibi Jones on this episode. The adventures of Alibi Jones continue. This is a great jumping on point, too. It's a good time to be getting into it, even though it's chapter 16 in the book. Alibi Jones and his covert ops team are about to hunt ghosts. It's a new mission for Alibi and his crew, and they're adding a psychic and a xenobiologist from the project for the trip out to this ancient alien shipwreck. My original short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, became part of this novel, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. And it's kind of spread throughout the book, even on the first page, page one. But this mission is where that story really starts to take hold and take place inside of the novel. So I hope you'll listen and enjoy. It's chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. My experiment in recording the intro and outro part of the podcast at the Lake House continues. I thought it sounded a bit too lively last week, so I've made some adjustments this week. We'll see if you notice. I'm still recording the chapters of the book in my apartment on the same mic and sound card I've been using all along. I want to try to keep the book sound consistent that way. Can you notice any difference? Can you tell it's a different setup? I'm curious. You can let me know. Email glowinthedarkradio.com or let me know on Twitter or Facebook. Just wondering if you can spot any difference. There are more distractions at the lake. Strange, I know. So it took a lot longer to get the thing done than I'd hoped last week. So this week, I've done a lot of stuff ahead of time. Did some prep work Friday night to try to get ahead. So hopefully this is coming out at a reasonable hour on Saturday. We'll see. Other than that, I just want to remind you that the new comic book is out, The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 2. It's got Alibi Jones and the Wishing Stone as a backup. And the main story is Alibi Jones' Vacation, finally coming out in comic book form. You can find the audio versions of both of those as part of The Adventures of Alibi Jones' 6 Short Stories, the audiobook, which is available through podiobooks.com. Means it's a podcast through Podiobooks on iTunes as well. And those two stories were on episode 400 as well, so you can just go back in this podcast if you want to hear them. Vatican Abdicator got a 5-star review on Amazon this week, which was very cool. So nice to see. And it was really a review for the entire trilogy. The guy was pretty much a fan and was very surprised to come across a set of books he liked. He thought they were very funny, which is always nice when you're writing something that has an element of humor to it. You're hoping that people are laughing in the right spots, you know? But he said it reminded him of science fiction humor from the 60s and 70s, which made me very happy because that's kind of my inspiration, you know? I write science fiction that has an element of humor to it because I think life has an element of humor, or it should. So my thanks to Michael, who is my latest reviewer, a 5-star reviewer on Amazon, and again, posted the review on Vatican Abdicator, so thank you. Well, Alibi and his crew are about to get hunting ghosts. We'll check in with them as we get into Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, this is Hugh, the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast. Twice a month, we present the best short fiction of all genres, thought-provoking interviews, and other diverse entertainments. You can find us online at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com or search for us on iTunes. Some people say that short fiction is going the way of the buffalo. Come join us, won't you?
Now, here's Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi sat on the cruiser's bridge, watching footage from the mission package sent by Safe Command. The recording in front of Alibi alternated between a humorless man with a severe crew cut in a Safe Commander's uniform, and an independent trader dressed in flamboyant maroon, gold, and black. A haunted ship? Are you kidding me? Garrison Commander Sharkovsky asked. Alibi knew the man was relatively new to his post, appointed a few months back after a corruption scandal cleaned out the old safe hierarchy on Depot. He obviously didn't suffer fools.
You want me to believe there's some kind of old haunted ship out there? Sharkovsky said. Look, man, I know you're new here. I get it. Respect. You don't have to tough guy me, Hector Ruiz said. Maybe you don't realize this, but I'm an independent. Ain't my habit to call into the safe garrison to chit-chat. Just trying to tell you, there's some sort of old alien husk floating out at those coordinates I sent you. And some kind of spaceman ghost with it that appeared on my bridge, saying, don't let me die. He was messed up.
What sort of cargo are you carrying, independent? Sharkovsky asked. Hallucinogens?
Click.
Alibi laughed as he switched off the footage. Cat appeared on the bridge and made his way up to his flight seat on Alibi's right.
What are you watching? Cat asked. Some more of your human comedy?
Not exactly, Alibi said. The mission package. Archival material. The first report of the alien derelict, our ghost ship. At least this time around.
This time? Cat asked. I did not realize there was another time.
Yeah, Alibi said. It appeared before, about 5 years ago. No talk of any ghosts back then, though, according to the reports.
No talk of anything, really.
Cat cocked his head to the side, inquisitive. Another hush-hush mission, like ours. None of it was made public knowledge. I never heard anything about it myself, Alibi explained. Another covert ops team investigated back then. But most of them didn't make it back. Commander of the mission actually got ripped in half.
Row!
Cat growled. Alibi jumped a little, still not quite used to Cat's outbursts. Alibi had grown accustomed to Cat's brother Kit, a less emotional Darkur. Alibi now knew Kit's calm demeanor was not evidently a racial trait.
Sorry, Cat said, realizing he'd made Alibi jump. But how did that happen? What ripped apart the commander?
The ship itself, Alibi said. The commander was on the outer hull of the alien ship when it unexpectedly shifted off into something like Transpace or its equivalent. Took half of them with it, left the rest behind. No one knew why it happened.
Alibi shook his head. He nodded at the screen in front of him.
I was just learning about it in the package.
I did not yet look through mine, Cat said. Are we sure this is the same alien shipwreck now reappeared?
Back then, the covert safe crew installed a temporary airlock in the wreck, managed to pressurize a small section inside of the alien ship. The guy who first reported this new appearance described an airlock just like that one.
Cat growled.
What happened to the rest of the old covert ops team?
Most of them were on board the alien vessel at the time it shifted away, Alibi said. They were never heard from again. All five of the crew dead. Well, four presumed dead, MIA.
Perhaps this ghost that has been reported is merely a member of the old team trying to make contact, Cat asked, now that the ship has returned.
Maybe, Alibi said. But it's not likely. The crew stranded on the alien shipwreck only had a temporary setup back then, Cat. Even the most optimistic estimates put their supply of oxygen at 2 weeks. It's been over 5 years.
Oh,
Cat said. And the captain who called in the new contact described a ghost actually appearing on his ship, saying, Don't let me die again, Alibi said. A glowing green spaceman ghost that disappeared when they left the old shipwreck. Alibi shook his head. That doesn't sound like anyone trying to make contact. Not a living person. Cat began to say something, but stopped. He paused, thinking.
I still find it difficult to believe the safe and the project actually have us hunting ghosts, Cat said.
Well, let's just say we're investigating an ancient alien shipwreck, Alibi clarified.
Which may or may not be haunted,
Cat pointed out.
This is the ship we are going to.
Yep.
This makes me uneasy, Alibi Jones,
Cat said. A sob shifted Alibi and Cat's attention towards the back of the bridge. Emily stood in the open hatch entry to the bridge with her hand up to her face. Her eyes were closed. She covered her mouth as another sob shook her. Alibi turned his captain's chair around. Emily, are you okay? He asked.
I'm sorry, she said. I heard what you were talking about as I walked onto the bridge.
She opened her eyes, red and rimmed with tears.
I knew, she paused, knew, someone on that team. They didn't come back alive.
Emily fought back another sob.
I'm sorry, she said.
Alibi looked from Emily over to Cat, who nodded back at him. Cat turned to the ship's controls. Alibi realized there was a lot he didn't know about Emily and her past. This was new information. She hadn't mentioned it when he originally told her about their mission to investigate the mysterious alien vessel. Alibi got up from his chair and walked over to his sobbing teammate. I'm sorry, Emily, he said. He reached out to give her a reassuring squeeze on the shoulder, but she shrugged him off. She blinked away the tears welling up in her brown eyes. I'll be okay, she said.
Wish I knew what to tell her.
He wanted to say something to comfort her, but didn't have the words. Before he could attempt something he'd later regret, he was interrupted.
Captain Al, what did you do to her?
The woman's high-pitched, sharp-toned, and indignant voice rang out from the corridor behind Emily. Lenora Schwald sashayed up behind the other woman, bringing with her the overpowering scent of her powdery, flowery perfume. Schwald was an independent contractor who worked for the project, a supposed psychic sensitive in her mid-40s. The project's R&D people were experimenting with what they called extra-audible communication, the discovery of alien races who used telepathic means of communication had led to a cutting-edge program that employed people like Schwald. You're the psychic, you tell me, Alibi cracked.
Now that's not very nice, Captain Al,
Lenora said, as she reached out for Emily's arm. Emily pulled away from Lenora's grasp.
Please don't touch me, Emily said.
She turned around, pushed past Lenora Schwald, and jogged off down the corridor.
You should watch what you say to her, Captain Al,
Lenora Schwald said.
Doesn't take a psychic to see she likes you. And you are cute, I'll give you that.
She actually winked at Alibi.
But you piss her off like that, and you won't get anywhere. Well, not with her, anyway.
The older woman laughed. She turned and glided off in the same direction Emily had gone.
She likes me? Alibi said to himself. Where'd she get that?
She is a psychic?
Cat offered. For a psychic, she has no idea what other people are thinking. Alibi cracked.
You want to bring us into Rigel 4?
Cat called to Alibi. Alibi went back to his seat, shaking his head. You don't? Alibi asked. Cat looked over at him with a furry, furrowed brow, and frowning whiskers.
No, Kat said. When I agreed to join this covert ops team, it was because it was supposed to operate outside of the Solar Alliance. All this traveling around inside the SA is troublesome to me. I am not comfortable doing so much inside of your SA's borders.
This is a special case, Alibi said. The SA figures we're the right team to do this job. Alibi sat back down. He called up the safe garrison on Rigel 4 and secured clearance to land.
If we are so perfect for this assignment, why do we need Lenora Schwald? Kat asked. And why are we now picking up this Dr. Humphreys?
To make us perfecter? Alibi offered. Kat growled, but smiled a little at the same time.
I hope that you are right, Kat said. But it could be we were chosen because we are easily expendable. If a covert ops team goes missing, who notices?
Comforting thought, Kat, Alibi said. Thank you for your optimism.
You are welcome.
That didn't take long. Just barely put my suitcase away, Dr. Devin Humphreys, the xenobiologist, said, as the alien derelict came into focus on the bridge's view screens. He made his way to a passenger seat, one of the two open. Emily and Lenora Schwald were in two of the others. As usual, Kat and Alibi were up in the co-pilot and pilot seats at the front of the bridge. They guided their cruiser in closer towards the old shipwreck.
Transspace does not take very long, Doctor, Kat said. We had the transspace jump coordinates on hand from earlier passers-by. It made the trip through transspace from Rigel 4's jump point quite easy.
The interstellar neighborhood they jumped into was somewhat dusky, yet stunning. Out near the edge of an as-yet-unnamed nebula, dominated by clouds of glowing violet and crimson star stuff. Their view of the bright colors was obscured by dense, closer clouds of unilluminated matter in between. The stellar debris clouds were dark, but not as black as the ancient alien husk of a ship they'd come to investigate. It floated across the dark clouds, appearing etched out in ebony ink, showing up against the nebula as a blotch of negative space, a small, jagged black hole.
Beautiful, Lenora said, as she looked out at the nebula. She closed her eyes and grew silent. I'm not picking anything up yet, she said, after a few moments' silence.
Do you think you might? Emily asked her. This far away? The older woman sat with her eyes closed and didn't answer. Emily tired of waiting. She turned away from the psychic and looked up at the front of the bridge. Alibi zoomed in on the alien ship, putting the larger image on the bridge's main view screen so all could see.
She's back, all right, Humphreys said. Looks like the same ship. Lost two close friends and colleagues on that beast. Good xenobiologists. The project sent only the best in to investigate. The other folk on the crew were also top-notch. Alibi laughed. Humphreys glowered at him.
What's so funny? Humphreys demanded. Sorry, Alibi apologized. It sounded like you just admitted you weren't the best, since they didn't send you in there. Alibi realized his explanation wasn't helping his case. It wasn't appropriate. Sorry.
I was part of the first, the original first contact team, the one that met the Domo, son, Humphreys said, sounding indignant. However, as a manager, I couldn't go into this ship back then, much as I wanted to. But I sent our people into that ship. I'm here now because I feel like I owe it to them, or at least to their memory.
Again, I'm sorry, Alibi said. Trying to make a joke, it backfired. Humphreys glared at him for a moment, and then looked away. Alibi looked across the bridge at Emily. He wondered how she was handling her memories. He was beginning to wonder about some other things as well, such as the makeup of their small covert ops team. The Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, SAFE, teamed up with the scientists of the project to assemble their squad. Alibi's Aunt Anita had run the project and led the Solar Alliance in the past. It had seemed natural for her to ask Alibi's covert ops team to look into the alien ship. Now that he knew both Humphreys and Emily had personal history tied into the first appearance of the wreck, Alibi was starting to wonder what strings were being pulled that he didn't know about.
Don't like being part of plans I'm not in on.
Don't
mind Dr. Harumph, please,
Lenora Schwald said, suddenly alert.
You two know each other? Alibi asked, surprised.
Our paths have crossed, Humphreys said. We both work with the project, Schwald said. You might be surprised how often alien contact work calls for both the scientist and the psychic.
Too often lately, Humphreys said under his breath.
You two have come across a lot of haunted ships? Alibi asked.
Not like this, Schwald said. She sounded excited.
I'm a scientist, Humphreys said. I can assure you, whatever is going on here, there is no such thing as ghosts or haunted ships.
Scientists are priests with their own set of dogma, Schwald said. Devon refuses to believe in anything he cannot see.
Devon? Alibi asked.
He's too stubborn to admit there even are such things as psychics, Schwald said. No matter how many times I've proven I'm sensitive.
Proven? Humphreys said. He sounded both amused and a little annoyed. Proof, if only.
All right, enough arguing. Let's move on and move in, Alibi said. You two, simmer down.
Emily, go back and start the onboard transpace nullifier, okay?
Gotcha,
Emily said, looking happy to be leaving the bridge. The transpace nullifier was a defensive weapon developed by the Project for use in the War for Humanity's Existence against the Eldred 25 years earlier. It created a field that prevented transpace engines from working. SAFE and the Project hoped the transpace nullifier might have the same effect on whatever engines move the ancient alien derelict out of normal space, keeping it from suddenly shifting off.
No one wanted a repeat of the incident that cost the captain of the first crew his life.
The cruiser had a built-in nullifier, the one Emily went to turn on. There was also a much larger transpace nullifier sitting in the cruiser's cargo bay. They'd picked it up on Rigel IV when Humphreys came on board. The plan was to move that big one over onto the alien ship, activating it over there in an attempt at keeping the derelict from jumping away without warning.
The report said other ships experienced power drains when they approached the alien craft, Alibi said. Let me know if we see anything like that.
All systems are being monitored for any power fluctuations, Kat informed him.
Good, Alibi said, as the cruiser continued to close the distance between them and the giant, ageless alien vessel.
That was Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones in the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi and his crew have arrived at the ancient alien vessel, the haunted shipwreck. A couple of interesting temporary additions to the crew, with Dr. Devon Humphreys, the xenobiologist, and Lenora Schwald, the psychic, both from the project. Lenora, of course, an independent contractor. I don't know why, but her voice has always sounded that way in my mind.
Captain Hal! Lenora Schwald!
She just has a larger-than-life personality. Love Lenora. Love all my characters. They all kind of come to life in my mind and then have a life of their own and get mad if I do things to them. They never let you get away with it for too long. They never let you live it down, let's say. We'll find out what happens as the investigation continues as they draw closer to the wreck. The giant ancient alien shipwreck. So we get into Chapter 17 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on our next episode. Once again, this is the first time you can hear the final version, the printed, published version of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest as an audiobook. Originally, when I was doing these chapters, I was presenting the book as a work in progress, so you were getting earlier draft versions of the book. But now, yes, this is the final version. The version that is out there in print has been out for about a year now. But the audiobook hasn't been out yet because, well, I'm just doing the chapters now. It's part of what comes from being a part-time author. Full-time radio guy, part-time author. I don't know, that could shift, you know, if people started buying the books. Just saying. I do love my radio job, though. It's great having a quote-unquote day job that is also a dream job. It really is. For those of you who don't know, you can hear me 5 days a week on the day job. It's as part of an adult alternative radio network here in Vermont called The Point. Our program director is Zeb Norris, man I have a lot of respect for and I enjoy working with. And I'm the music director, so I get to listen to all the music that comes out, that gets sent to the station, and I also try to, you know, keep my ear to the ground for anything else that might be out there that maybe we should be playing. And I'm on the air Eastern, well, daylight time now, but Eastern time, from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And you can actually listen to my show if you go to the radio station website. That's pointfm.com. So if you want to hear what I do for my day job, listen in Monday through Friday at pointfm.com from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll play you some music. I get to interview bands. I do a special feature at noontime called the Hot Lunch Special. It's good. And we play a great mix of music, if I do say so myself. Head over to the homepage, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, if you want to find out anything more about my books and such. Vatican Assassin, my first novel, came out just over 10 years ago. That is now free everywhere. Alibi Jones is free at most places, just not at Amazon. It's 99 cents there. But you can find my books pretty much at any major online bookseller, either the Vatican Assassin trilogy or the Alibi Jones adventures. Again, really, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com to find out more, or mikeluoma.com. And look me up on Facebook or Twitter that way, too. Facebook.com/MikeLuoma, Twitter.com/MikeLuoma, or try our Facebook page, .com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. That's all for this time. As ever, our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.